Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved congregation, welcome into worship this Lord's Day. We pray that God would be praised by us with reverent deep, for he daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. Let's sing together the praise of God from 293. 293, there's quite a wealth of selections to sing about the Exodus from the Psalter. And 293 is a very familiar one. Rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High. 293. Which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if we turn to Romans 7, we see how the law works, even in Paul's own experience with regard to one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. Romans 7, we read from verse 5 until verse 10. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So that's how the Spirit of the Lord blessed the law to the apostle himself. With the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, he was brought to conviction of sin and to realize also his need for cleansing. And may the Lord bless the reading of his law even to that end for us. Now please turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And I know it's a lengthy reading, but I'd like to read the whole chapter together, all 51 verses. Exodus 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall till it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, an unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat none of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month, at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. It shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, Both ye and the children of Israel, go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. The mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought forth out of Egypt, where it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou circumcisest him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. He shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. It came to pass the selfsame day, the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And there we end our reading. Heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Just two notes. First is that mention is made of the Cambridge Bible Conference, and the flyer will be on the cart, the Lord willing, in the afternoon. So more information about that conference will be available at the afternoon service. And it's a good conference, very edifying and profitable to go to if at all possible. Then the second thing is, also there are the summary sheets of the last two consistory meetings, and we apologize for not providing the summary of the December consistory meeting earlier. That's my mistake, and I apologize for that, but please find them on the back cart when you leave. Let's unite our hearts in prayer together and call on God's worthy name. God of all power and glory, we come to thee this morning. Thou art the Lord God of hosts, the one who has triumphed over sin and darkness, over the devil and all his hosts. Thou art our glory, O Lord. But let us not glory in men. Let us not glory in strength or wisdom. Let us not glory in our works or in our decency, but let him who glories glory in the Lord. And just as the children of Israel had to learn as much through the Passover, their own unworthiness, so Lord, teach us more and more our own unworthiness. But apart from grace, apart from thy goodness, we are nothing. We are sinners worthy of hell, thy eternal judgment, and just condemnation. In Adam's sin, we have all fallen. We have all sinned. In our own sins, we heap up unto ourselves more and more deserving judgment. O wretched people that we are, who shall deliver us from the body of this death? And Lord, we know not half of the pollution that we still have to struggle with, even after thy cleansing, even after regeneration, the giving of a new nature to thy people. Oh, the deeds of the old man still rise up. How the old man still wages war for supremacy against that which thou hast worked. Lord, the good that we would, that we do not, and the evil which we would not, that we do. Oh, wretched people that we are. And if one commandment is able to convict the Apostle Paul of his sin, how much more of the Ten Commandments are able to convict us of our sin? O Lord, please add thy blessing. Please bring the sword of the law to bear upon our innermost beings, that we wouldn't be righteous of ourselves, self-righteous. We wouldn't be hypocrites, having the appearance of one thing and yet not having the true substance of it, the true reality of it, but that we would be humble, penitent sinners, as the publican, crying out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy, which is from everlasting to everlasting. We thank thee for thy power to cleanse the most vile wretch, the chief of sinners. For Lord, thou hast in history found the dirty ones, found the ones who of themselves had nothing to bring, nothing to plead, but who looked unto the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And grant that that Lamb, grant that that work of Christ as the perfect, spotless, God-provided, God-ordained Lamb would be the way of our salvation, would be our Savior Himself. Lord, we thank Thee for the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that though it's foolishness in the eyes of the world, even as these actions must have been in the eyes of the Egyptians, what was Israel doing that night? Still in the day of vengeance, in the day of judgment, to have covering, to have blood between us and the avenger, to have Christ as the one whose righteousness avails. Oh, that is to be safe. That is to be secure. That is to be saved. We pray for ourselves in this world in which we live at this day and age, that the blood of Christ would be enough for us, that we would cast our all upon it, and upon the promise that thou wilt be merciful and just, to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory be to thee. May our lives render thee praise all of our days. We pray, O God, for our congregation, thanking thee for each other, for the ties that bind, for the love that exists between people and within families and between families and as a flock. Bind us together. Grant that when people rejoice, that we would be able to rejoice and raise up the praise of our God together. That when people are struggling and mourning, that we also would seek to mourn with them and to weep, to seek thy restoration, thy strength, and thy grace going forward. Lord, we ask thee to please be with Rob and Rhoda, and David and Becky and Robbie. Grant to them the necessary strength for this day, for this moment. And Lord, thou art teaching them on and on that thy ways are deep, but that thou dost also supply moment by moment. Thou hast said for us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. How much more also art thou teaching them thy provision is enough for every single day. Please encourage them when they're downcast. Help them when they're weak. And grant thy glory to be furthered in their life and in their testimony going forward. We ask also, O gracious one, to be with those who are our widows. Be with those who are in special need. We ask for surely for Joan and Grisha to visit them in their distress, to grant in their daily lives joy and peace of heart before thee. Bless them with their families. Work in the broader relations. Be saving faith in thyself. Please also be with Riki. Be near to her. Bless her. O faithful and kind Lord. Thou art the covenant God who art able to save to the uttermost all who come to thee. And that Riki also would, in her way, according to thy grace and mercy, come and not be cast out. Lord, hast thou not, through thy servant David, received the Mephibosheth, the one who is lame in both of his feet? How much more canst thou not receive those who from our side are hopeless, but who will give praise to thy great mercy and thy unfailing love? Please, O Lord, also bless the outgoings of the consistory meeting and the meetings we've had, that thou wilt guide all matters relating, pertaining to the congregation, and that thou wilt bless the office bearers, the brothers. We thank thee for them, for Dick and Jim and Joel. We pray that thou wilt give them strength, give us all strength to serve thee as we must faithfully and believingly, that thou wilt look after the church and thy will would be done. Lord, also please be with others who are struggling, especially those who have depression, or those who are fighting addiction. Please help them, O Father of mercies. Deliver them from themselves and grant in darkness the light to be more gloriously shining, that in the depths they would cry out unto thee, and that thou would set their feet upon a rock, and that the new song would be put in their mouth, even praise unto our God. These blessed children, we thank thee for them and ask thee to work in their hearts a knowledge of the importance of the work of Christ, the knowledge of Christ Himself. Oh, Father, we look to Thee, and we ask Thee for blessing from on high, for showers to rain down upon us and make us tender and fruitful. Please also, Lord, be with the denomination, the various churches and ministers. We thank Thee for the seminary's accreditation. Please bless that institution with continued service for the church at large. Raise up ministers, raise up men, even from our own churches, to bring the gospel trumpet, to make the gospel trumpet sound, ringing forth throughout all the earth. Bless also the Cambridge Bible Conference and the Heritage Spring Retreat and all the other events, that Thy name would be glorified and Thy people built up. Please be with us further this day. Give us a blessed day, day of benefit in Thy house, and bind us to Thyself, O Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing from number 290, stanzas 1 through 5. At this time, your collection will be received for the Benevolent Fund and then for the Church Fund. And next week, the Lord willing, our collection in the place of the Benevolent is for Redemption Prison Ministry, where Reverend Marty Slingerland works with inmates in various prisons in British Columbia, and Rudy DeVries works in prisons in Ontario. So we commend that cause to you. 290, 1 through 5. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks and bless His name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. Congregation. been a long time in coming. Not just over the course of 9 plagues, all clear displays of the Lord's supremacy, of His greatness and power over the gods of Egypt. Not just 9 plagues by which He is establishing His right to His people, that He has a greater right for His people's servants than Pharaoh, and He would bring Pharaoh to ultimately acknowledge that, and He would take His people for Himself to worship Him. But this has been 430 years, even since the beginning of the book of Exodus, after we read that the Pharaoh knew not Joseph, and the oppression had been hard, the days undoubtedly long, and the despair perhaps very deep. Would they ever be brought out from that furnace of affliction? And yet, the light was shining all the while when we can read of the Lord remembering His covenant that He had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And it all comes to a head. It all comes to a climax in the night of the Passover. And beloved, what a night it was for God's people. It's hard for us to really overstate the significance of what happened that night. You can imagine significant things would have happened in the history of Egypt over the history of Israel over those 430 years. They could celebrate births. They were all significant, and yes, even against the edict of Pharaoh to kill the boys. Still, Moses was preserved. There was the hope of a deliverer. Faint though it may have been, still it was there. Or you could think of the significant daily events, perhaps rehearsing deeds of the Lord to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, recalling how God had called for Himself a people to be His precious chosen people, the seed of Jacob, the descendants of Joseph. Many significant things would have happened. Still they were in bondage. Still they were there, not worshiping the Lord as He said they would. And this one night would change everything. It would be like a new birth for over 1.5 million. And it would be the very foundation upon what so much of Old Testament religion would be, the celebrating of the Passover, and especially the importance of the blood that had to be shed. The night of the Passover was a night like none other. A night that would determine history. A night that would pave the way for the final redemption that God would provide in the person of His Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So this morning I declare to you from Exodus 12 that this night of the Passover was the culminating work of the 10 plagues, whereby God would display His power, but especially accomplish His purpose to have His people worship Him as He said they would. And this same God, beloved, displays His power today, not in the form of the night of the Passover, but in the form of deliverance of His people from sin through Christ. So our theme is the night of the Passover. 3 points: preparations, completion, and significance. So the night of the Passover, first we have preparations, what they had to do to prepare for it. Second, we have the completion of it, the very execution, the carrying out of it. And then third, the significance. So first then, there were to be preparations. The night had been declared. Last chapter already, we had read about and learned about the greatness of Moses and how Moses went in and declared to Pharaoh, the firstborn will die. Firstborn of Pharaoh who sits upon the throne, the firstborn of the maidservant, the firstborn of the beast, they will all die. But against the people of Israel, not a dog will move his tongue. And yet there had to be preparedness. Certain things had to be done, even by the children of Israel. They couldn't just sit back and say, let's watch it happen. No, they had to prepare for it. This would be a significant beginning, marked by a very real change in calendar. But notice some of the things they had to do. The first is that there is the focus on the lamb. They had to take a lamb. Every house needed a lamb, a sacrifice, a substitute. And notice that it wasn't so much the concern if the lamb would be enough for a house. If the lamb would be able and sufficient to provide for the house. But notice that what was required is that there would be enough people for that lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, not too big, but too little, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make count for the lamb. So the Lord's provision and the main preparation and the main focus would be, not would there be enough lambs, not would a lamb be able to provide for a house, but that there would be enough people drawn into that house where that blood would be applied. That's what Israel needed. They needed to find the lamb, and they needed to have enough people hid under the blood of that lamb as a substitute. There was no difference really at heart between Israel and Egypt. Israel and Egypt both were sinners. They both even as we would see later in the history of Israel, had offended God. Israel in the wilderness would complain and murmur and grumble and rebel and doubt. And those sins are already sown in their heart as weeds. So God knows Pharaoh's heart, which was hardened. God also knew his people's heart, which was equally depraved. God knows our hearts. And the only difference between Israel and Egypt was that Israel had blood. The blood of a lamb. This is the first time that the Lord requires his people to do something. To shield themselves from the plague. Every other time there was a natural division. Light, darkness. This time, the people needed a sacrifice, they needed a substitute, they needed a lamb. And the concern was that there would be enough people for the lamb, because the lamb was precious and sufficient. And notice further the qualities of this lamb. It couldn't just be any maybe limping animal, any of the smaller animals. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So it had to be of a certain quality, a certain purity. They had to inspect it closely for the least blemish, the least thing that would render that lamb less valuable. And it had to be in the first year. Couldn't be an old lamb, having had its life lived well, very disposable. Couldn't be a lamb that was too weathered and too well seasoned. Had to have hope in the future. Be right in its growing and looking to the prime of life. And it had to live with the people, with the houses, for 14 days, to be among them, to be one of their family. The families had to identify with the lamb so that the lamb would be precious. The lamb would be theirs. So this is the first aspect of preparation. It all concentrated on the substitute. And what was it specifically about this lamb but the purity of it and the blood of it? The purity that it had to be of the highest quality, and the blood that it had to be caught when they killed this lamb in a bowl and be able to, with the hyssop branch, be applied into the sides of the door, into the top of the door. This was the main point of preparation. And you could possibly imagine different Israelites approaching this preparation differently. Some would maybe say, "Why a lamb? Why do we have to do this? All this painstaking scrutiny of the lamb to see if its coat is okay, if its feet are at all hobbled or wounded, if its eyes are still good. Why can't we just take one from anywhere? Well, imagine others say, oh, it's unnecessary. We can try something else. Another animal would do. Openly unbelieving. But we could also picture the head of a family going through his flock and going down to the very minute points of different sheep or different goats, finding one, seeking the Lord's clarity and seeking the Lord's blessing. That the lamb would fit the bill, that the lamb would be acceptable. I wonder who we are today. Those who discount it, those who say it's much ado about nothing. We truly see how vital this preparation was, and how gracious the provision was, that there were lambs. That there were more than enough lambs. And no one could say, I have sought for a lamb and there wasn't one. What gracious provision the Lord made. But then too, there would be the necessity of killing the lamb. And eating the flesh as it was to be roast with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. To not boil the flesh in water, but to have it put on the fire could remind them of the fiery bondage, the slavery. To eat it with unleavened bread. To eat it with haste. Fat with bitter herbs, but the bitter groanings and cries that were drawn forth from them. It wasn't just the lamb, but the lamb was at the very center, and it was attended with other aspects of the meal, all being visible reminders, all being tastes. What the past was for them. But then too, they had to eat in the way of readiness to move. With their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand, they shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, verse 11. This wasn't a time to lounge around. This wasn't a time to take their time and just enjoy the food. No, the food was meant for a purpose. To remind them of their past, but also to remind them that the end is coming soon. And there would be a new beginning. A new life lay ahead of them. Children, perhaps you've had times when you had to be in a hurry. You had to get going in a hurry. Maybe it was when you had to go to the doctor or to a hospital. You couldn't get a lot of things gathered. You couldn't make sure necessarily that your hair was all ready and that you had your necessary clothes on. No, you had to get out the door. Hurry up. Well, that is the way it was for the people of Israel. They had to eat ready to go. Because the Lord and their time of dwelling there, the Lord was was coming and their time of dwelling there was coming to an end. And then the great preparation was the proper application of the blood to the side and to the top of the door. They didn't just kill the lamb in order to have food from it, meat and strength. They killed the lamb so that there could be a covering, a shelter of blood made for them. We read in verse 22 and 23, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lentil and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at that door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." To have it applied. To have it actually pressed against those posts. To have it actually dripping down was required. Oh, to omit it would have still left that home under the judgment. It's when that destroyer would see the blood. That destroyer, that avenger would pass by. So all these preparations, all these particulars had to be in place. It wasn't a flying by the seat of their pants, a haphazard event. It was very orderly. It was very clear. And it was to be followed exactly. And beloved, this is the glory of our God, that He shows what was required, but that He also gives grace to carry out. He draws His people to do it. He motivates them. He moves them to obedience. And beloved, this is God seeking His people before they sought Him. God telling His people the way it had to be done. And God giving His people the heart to obey. The night of the Passover was a night of great preparation, great obligation to the Lord. But for those believers, what would it have been? But a night of expectation. What will it be? When will we go forth from here? And what a wonder that there is hope, that there is blood keep us safe. For you and I, this day, we can be caught in the mind. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to make ourselves ready and worthy. But remember, God ultimately was drawing His people. He wasn't telling them to do it on their own power and in their own strength. But He was saying again, remember the Lamb. It speaks of your unworthiness, of your need for a substitute. Remember the bitter herbs and the fire-roasted lamb, as well as the unleavened bread. These are unpleasant things. Because your history is an unpleasant history. look with confidence to the blood. Be safe and secure. There's no amount of preparing ourselves that we can ultimately earn God to pass over us. But He can draw us and say, look what I have provided. Hide yourself from the wrath to come. Let's sing before we look at the completion and significance. 213, 1 through 5. Number 213, 1 through 5. My people, give ear, attend to my word, and parables new, deep truths shall be heard. 1 through 5, 213. Smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. It happened. The moment had come. According to the word of the Lord, as Moses had said, it all took place. And what we have to do is we have to think about what that word Passover really means. There are two helpful pictures, I believe, of it. The first is that where that blood was applied, where that door was dripping with blood, that the Lord is covering His people. The Lord is hovering over His people, putting Himself between the people who were inside that house and the avenger who was going by, and shielding them, and being that barrier, that wall, the protector, so that the avenger, in seeing that blood, knowing the presence of God standing between, couldn't get at those hidden in the house. That's why it's so important that they did not step out of the house until it was proper time. Because stepping out would have put themselves directly in front of that avenger, that destroyer. They would have been killed. So that's the first picture, is a protector, a barrier, a shield. The angel of death isn't taking a detour around their houses, taking the long way around, but he's going right by them. And if there's blood, there is a wall that avenger couldn't go through. And the people inside were safe. And that's what Christ does. That's what He has done. That at Calvary, where there are the three crosses, there is blood. The center cross, the cross of His Son, taking the blow upon Himself, absorbing it, saying, those who are covered by me, those who are hid under me, the avenger cannot get at, because it's He has taken it upon Himself. That's the gospel. We don't need to stand exposed, bare to the avenger, to the destroyer. Because who could stand? But we can be shielded and covered with the blood of the beloved Son of God. God can see the blood. When I see the blood, is the blood enough for you to hide yourself all your life long and to be kept safe? But then there's another image that could be helpful in understanding this idea of Passover, and it's the idea of limping. Can't develop it all right now, but the word is that he will walk with uneven step. It will be haste through the land of Egypt. But where there is blood, there would be, as it were, a limp, and the Lord would pass by, not exerting the power of judgment upon that house where the blood is, because the judgment has fallen upon the substitute. But in the land of Egypt, there would be no limp. There would be the full exertion of the righteous judgment of God. So much so that All the firstborn died, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, so the highest, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, to the lowest. No limping, no weakness. Only the righteous vengeance of God. And so much so that there was a great cry in Egypt. There was not one house where there was not one dead. No limping. No passing over. Nobody absolute strict application of judgment. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Get you forth from among my people. And all of you, your children, your women, your flocks and your herds, as you have said, go." It had been finished. It had been worked. The completion of the night of the Passover. And they even give them precious jewels of silver and gold and changes of clothes. It was finished. It wasn't a two-part process. It was definitively done. Beloved, that's what we hear when we hear Christ's words. It is finished. It is done. Tetelestai. Completed. Blood has been shed. The new covenant has been worked. Redemption is accomplished. Nothing more had to be done. The shield, the protection, the blood of covering is there. And the uneven step, God passing by. And the thing we have to consider is it enough for us? Nothing else needs to be done. It is completed. There is no need for any mass. There is no need for another sacrifice. Christ has finished the work. And if it's not enough for us, what are we saying? We're saying we want to be face to face with the Avenger ourselves. I want to stand and hold my own against him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. None can stand outside of the blood, outside of the mercy of the living God. Dear ones, if you're not hid in the Lamb, I urge you today from the Word of God that we don't have a work that is yet undone to declare to you, but we have a work that has been finished. And for you to say it's not enough for you is to mock God for the great provision He has made of His Son. And that mocking will earn you eternal torment. But it need not stay that way. We need faith in the completed work of Christ. That the covering, the shelter, is secure even for a person like me. And this would have lifelong significance. It would be for the children of Israel, for their children. What is this big feast? Why the change of our calendar? Why the taking up of weeks for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Passover? And it would be a teaching opportunity that the Lord showed in this feast His power save. It would be a night much observed unto the Lord for bringing His people out of the land of Egypt, verse 42 says. So it wasn't just for the immediate generation, but it would be for all the generations that followed. How important to carry out these feasts in the memory. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. What do we have today? We have the Lord's Supper. We have the, not just the reminder, but we have again the seal of it. God is a God, is the God of salvation. He has delivered His people from their sins. But it also would be important for the foreigner. There is enough, even for those not born into Israel. Yes, the congregation of Israel had to appreciate the significance, but we read in verse 48, when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. There was even room in the Passover for people who weren't born natural Israelites, but who came to say, the Lord is my God. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be among this people. I will be circumcised. And I will receive of the blessed redemption, the blessed deliverance that God has worked. Beloved, ultimately the significance of the Passover would be that it would be the language, in a sense, which would make so understandable the work of Christ. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover who was sacrificed for His people. He is the one who is the covering for any sinner who comes to Him. It's not in the formal celebration of the ritual that the people of Israel were called to rest. But it's in the Spirit-worked confidence that their God saved from death. And they have received that salvation. So the night of the Passover, the night that changed history for the people of God. And what will it be in a person's life when they find out that even for them, God is Savior? It'll change their life. It'll change their life completely. What shall we render unto the Lord? Beloved, the night is coming. The night of final judgment. And the only safety in that night, and as it approaches, is to be hid under the blood. To have Christ and His merits as ours. And all that you and I in that day would be found safe. Amen. O Lord, we ask Thee for Thy blood to be made ours. What a wonder that Thou hast provided the way, not just in wooing us and preparing us, but actually in accomplishing deliverance. and then applying it. Spirit of God, we ask Thee for the faith that cannot remain apart from Thee. We cannot dwell complacently on our own, relying on ourselves, but for that faith that hides itself and takes complete refuge to Thy mercy, to Thy salvation. And where there is not that faith, make it known. Make it known that we're in danger. Make it known that we are facing the vengeance of our God. And bring us in to the strong tower where the righteous will run to and be safe. Lord, strip away all of our excuses. Show us our ambivalence, our wavering between two opinions. And grant us that united conviction of heart where we need to be, and bring us there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing from selection 373, verses 1 through 3, 5, and 7. O praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad. O praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 1 through 3 and 5 through 7 of 373.
Thank you.
blessing and doing his peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.